fast one. I also have like these really cumbersome headphones that if we you know, clear audio, then by all means I can switch. So you let me know like what sounds clear to you, if it sounds like the quality of your podcast.
I appreciate that. Do.
Yeah, you got it. I listen, because I know sometimes listening to audio, like listening to some podcasts, is like.
Yeah, so it could be an ear sore for sure. No, it definitely could be a. Yeah. I try to tell people that sometimes. I'm like, well, you know, does it really matter? I'm like, yeah, audio matters. Audio determines, you know, if people actually want to listen to the whole thing or not, you know, so.
Right. 100%. So do you think it's good? Are we good on your end? Like,
I honestly think it sounds fine. I also got a way I can process it and edit it if I need to, but it sounds really good. So what I tend to do is we just have the conversation and then I'll do like a pre-drop. Like I will pre-record what the conversation was about. I don't know what this conversation is going to be about, right? It's just going to kind of figure it out as we go. But yeah. Hey, I appreciate you taking the time seriously to join. It's been a pleasure to connect with you. And see, this is why we fix this thing. So that's it. One sec. That's never happened. That's never happened at all.
I mean, you know what? I'm gonna keep it honest. A lot of times things just happen because of me. Like for some reason, like everybody's like, oh, this never happened. And it's always when it's with me. And I'm not gonna look at it like it's a bad thing. I'm just gonna be like, I don't know.
No, that's it might be because of you, because my camera is not fell all weekend. But no, it's all good. We're gonna keep it going. But I do appreciate you joining. It's a pleasure to meet with so many people all over the world. It seems like how powerful social media truly is. I'll be honest with you, I did not think anybody was gonna take that post very serious. You know, people give you their emails like, yeah, reach out to me. And then I'm like, I'm going to send it out. I'm going to see. And I was like, oh, wait, y'all actually reaching out to me. Yep. Yeah. So I'm actually trying to engage and get yourself out there. So what's really important to me is for people to share their stories and kind of how they got to where they are today. So starting with you again today, tell me about your story. How do we get here? What do we do? What do we enjoy about life and things like that?
Oh, man. So before I tell you a little bit about me and my story, I was also thinking like you weren't going to respond to us, right? You'd be like, oh, I'm going to do this thing. And, you know, who's interested in this? And for me, I don't really engage a whole lot on social media. And one of the things that I'm learning to do more of, and I have to do more of, is connect authentically with people and maintain those connections, because that's one of the areas that I struggle in. But I was like, I don't even know if he's gonna actually respond, you know. And so, and then when I got the email, I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. So I'm grateful to you for just doing your due diligence and being like, I'm gonna follow up on all of these leads, which is so cool, because I also have a podcast. I could share you more about that, but it's in hiatus for a little bit. And one of the things I want to do is I want to talk to Black women-owned businesses. So that's one of the things I'm going to pull from what my experience with you is. Yes. To connect and then to follow up.
Yeah.
So thank you.
No, that's, of course. I think hiatus is a very true word. I feel like I was in the same space. So just to kind of give you some context about me and podcasting, I've been probably podcasting for about 5 or 6 years. I won't say consecutively, but I will say within each of those years, I have been doing something. So started off like I think anybody else. We started off, me and four of my closest friends, we did something called Medium Lit, and that was pretty fun. It was, we were younger, about to be 30 in a couple of months. So where I was at that point in time, it's very much like pop culture was going on in the world. And I always had a deep for desire than where the podcast was going. There's some more topics I feel like that was really important to me. So I tried to branch off on my own thing. And long story short, I got to a point in August of this year and I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I don't want to do anything else anymore. And I've interviewed people with other podcasts I've done, but you know, I think truly God talked to me in the end of October. And it's like, you should try again. Like, that's the only thing I kept hearing was try again. And I haven't been on Threads. I haven't been on Threads like a year. I got on it like everybody else last year. Yeah, it's a new app. I didn't think nothing about it. And yeah, when people start reaching out, I did get a little overwhelmed at first because it was way more than I expected. But I think this is what I think God was telling me to do, is to go back to doing what was so organic, was just to have conversations. I never really wanted my platform just to be about me. And I think at some point I did. And I think that's why I got frustrated. I made it about me. I'm like, I got this story. I got this. And I learned that I was making it more complicated for myself. And so I think other people have more insight than I do. I don't know everything about businesses. I don't know everything about radio or other things. And I think people, especially women, I really have been more intentional with that, of trying to get more women involved. Because I think sometimes when women hear about a male podcast, they think that we're going to just talk about relationships and who hates who. And I really don't really.
Podcast bro stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm trying to separate myself from that culture, because that's not me at all. I love engaging those things, but I also just think there's a lot of powerful women, especially Black women, that are doing great things. They really just need a platform to have their voices heard. So when I heard about you and some of the other people, I just want to give y'all the opportunity to do so. So while you're on hiatus, hopefully this sparks some sort of creativity for you and what you got going on.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And I was talking to my husband yesterday about it, and I was like, I'm going to be on a podcast tomorrow. And he's like, what is it about? And I told him the name of it. I looked and I read the description of your podcast on Apple. And he was like, that sounds pretty aligned with like who you are. And so I was like, yeah, so I'm excited. And right now I'm in the spirit of saying yes. So saying yes. But what got me here? Right. So,
yeah.
I have spent all of my life in corporate America. So I never worked in any like service jobs. I never did. Well, I'm not going to say never, because I did work at Lululemon for a short time, but I didn't do any type of, you know, like think of like entry level jobs that you had when you were a kid. I went right into working in offices, in corporate spaces from the time I was 16 till 2022 when I was, oh my gosh, I don't even know how old I was in 2022. I'm 39 now. Okay, I'll be 40 in July. So I spent 20 plus years in these spaces, the corporate spaces that always expected us to be a certain way. And I'm saying us and like the collective Black women, Black people. And I have always been unapologetically Black. And the person that like I am, I love to connect with different types of people, but I love our people. Like, I love Black people. Much.
I understand.
And I didn't see, like, as I was going up in leadership while I was at my last corporate job, which I was there for about 16 years, as I was climbing the ranks in that space, I just started to see there's this expectation of us to be a certain way. And you even hear it from other Black people that are in higher positions, leadership positions, director positions. I'm going to pause for a second and I'm going to ask you if you hear my dog in the background.
No, I do not hear the dog.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Oh, you know, that's my Josh.
What type of dog do you have? Now I got to ask.
I know. He's a Maltese. A little, yeah. A little 7-pound Maltese guy. But yeah, he's, I brought his bed in here so he didn't bother me, but he had to get comfortable. So now he's good now. But it's something that we even hear from other leaders in the corporate space, that we have to be a certain way in order to be successful. And I was a rule follower my whole life. I'm an only child on my mom's side, grew up as an only child.
Me
too. So, Ralph, that's amazing. Listen, so only children, we have very unique like experiences and how we navigate the world. And perfectionism is probably one of the things that you struggle with too. So I struggled with like following all the rules and, you know, getting things, there being the right way to do things. And so when I'm learning from my mentors and I'm seeing from them like how they're navigating these spaces, that's how I'm going to show up. So I grew up in predominantly white neighborhoods, straighten my hair all the time, you know, just really respectability politics myself. Right. Because I was like, I have to be this way in order to be taken seriously, in order for people to think that I'm smart, and all of this. And it wasn't until I got into leadership in my role in my last corporate job where I started just realizing that I can be so much more effective to people who are coming up behind me.
Yeah.
And also in my work, if I'm being myself rather than trying to be somebody else. And it took me a while, and I'm still figuring that out. That's the name of my podcast, actually, Figuring It Out, but it's changing.
Okay.
Yeah, because we're all figuring it out, right? Like, you're 30, I'm almost 40, my husband's 42. Like, we're, no matter what age you are, you're always figuring it out. Like, there's never a point where we're like, I got it all figured out, I'm ready to go, you know? Yeah. Like, so, but what I did realize in that period of my life was that I needed to be more of myself so that I could give other people the permission to be themselves.
Yeah.
And then I started to see more success. I started to see, like, I started to just be more confident going into meetings and speaking up, because there was a part of me that perfectionism meant that I'm not going to say what I need to say in the space, because if I can't say it perfectly, or if I say it and somebody is mad at me, right, then there's this people-pleasing aspect of it, then yep. I'm going to be looked at like I'm not going to be good enough, and people aren't going to want to work with me, and I'm not going to be, you know, my name's not going to be spoken up in these spaces. So I just started allowing myself to be. And that meant me being, you know, a little louder than socially acceptable, because naturally I'm loud, you know, I'm an introvert. But when I'm around people who are my people, like, I'm loud, I laugh loud, I just like to have fun with the people who, like, make my heart feel like home.
Mm.
And so I started doing that. I stopped straightening my hair, curly hair, crazy. My mentor even came up to me, and he was like, and he's a Jamaican man. And he came up to me, he's like, why is your hair so crazy? And like, I had mentors who were really just kind of keeping me in that space, that were keeping me small.
Yeah.
So for a long time, while I was in corporate, I thought that I wanted to do something more. I knew I wanted to do something more. And I didn't know what that something more was. So I tried on all these different things. I did like MLM for a little bit. I was like a holistic nutritionist, because I was going through a nutrition thing journey. So I was like, oh, maybe I'm going to do this. And then it wasn't until 2 years ago that I went through, my organization went through a restructuring. Mm-hmm. And I was faced with an opportunity, and they were like, okay, you could either go back to this other position that you had, or because I was in HR, you can take severance and move on. And for a long time, our creator, I don't necessarily subscribe to organized religion, but I do believe in our creator. I believe in God. So at that time, I felt like our creator was telling me that you've been in and out, right? One foot in, one foot out for a long time. And this is your opportunity to step away and do something that fuels your spirit.
Yeah.
And so I took severance. And that's when I worked at Lululemon for a short time. But don't put that on it. Don't give them any ads. Don't give them any free promos. But that's when I worked in for some holiday hours, because I was like, I can do whatever I want. What do I want to do? And I just started doing a bunch of different stuff. Then I built my business. And at the time, it was called the Middleton Center. And the goal was to be a coach for rising leaders, and also do DEI work, because that's what I did since 2011. And then I took all of 2023 to really just figure out my business, go to school. I got my coaching certification, and then I started narrowing down like what it is that I want to do. Yeah. That's when Radiate was born. And Radiate is life and leadership coaching, specifically executive leadership coaching. But if I were to narrow it down even further, it's specifically leadership coaching for Black and Brown women, so that we can really identify our mission, our vision, and our values so that we can move in a direction that supports us while also building a career that feels aligned. Yeah. Because also often, you know, you don't get the coaching you need in the corporate spaces. You don't get the support that you need as a Black person in corporate spaces. And my goal is to create a space where someone can feel seen and heard, and get coaching from someone who doesn't necessarily have a stake in the business. So that's my professional overview. So that's where we are now. Yeah. I'm a little bit long-winded.
I mean, I appreciate it. This is always a great way to be an active listener and to figure out places we go. And I mean, also the experience speaks for itself. So that's a lot you said, and it's a lot. I'm trying to think of the best way to go about it at first. So you did corporate. You were in HR.
I was in a few different spaces, but I ended in HR, yeah.
Ended off in HR. So I always, you know, from the Black woman perspective, what do you think is usually the most challenging thing in navigating in corporate spaces?
I think the most challenging thing is navigating that authenticity factor while also saying, I want to grow more in this space. Right. But then I feel like I have to abandon part of myself. And that is absolutely a challenge. You know, you hear it all the time. We got a code switch. You know, where we had to be a different version of ourselves, right? Like you get in the car and then you could like, or you get in the parking lot, you got to zip up and be like, okay, you know, right? Like, and then you get out and then you could just like take a sigh of relief, you know, like, oh, okay, that's over. But like splitting ourselves, that's so uncomfortable. Yeah. That's so uncomfortable. I don't want to have to do that. And I don't want people to have to do that. But then the other side of it is we have to quit perpetuating the idea that we have to do that. So if we're in leadership spaces, you know, you got to be able to see people who are showing up as their authentic selves so that you could be like, OK, yeah, I could do this, you know. And as a supervisor, so when I was a supervisor for a long part of my career, during that time, my team, I would tell them all the time, I want them to be who they are. And yeah. Even in interview preparation, I'd be like, what should I say if someone asked me this question? What would you say when someone asks you this question? Right? What's the truth of not like this perfectly curated answer that sounds like everything they wanted to hear? Like, no, just be yourself, because somebody can spot BS, you know? And when you're putting on somebody else's shoes, you can only do that for so long. So that is the hard.
I'm about to say, but so long. I always say, within the first 3 months, your true self gonna come out of some point. She's at a job.
Absolutely.
You tell somebody on time all the time for work, and you start being late 2 weeks later. That's who you are. That's not
absolutely. True. Listen, I can't be on time for anything. My husband knows. Like, I could be on time for a virtual event, but person, I struggle. But that is absolute facts. That is absolute facts. And we have to create spaces for us to be able to be that version of ourselves, be the most authentic version of ourselves. And I think that organizations are at a detriment when they don't do that, because they're not benefiting from the value that different cultural groups will be able to provide to their organization. When somebody is always guarding themselves and always code switching and speaking in a way that doesn't suit themselves, that like who they are, they're never going to give you their best, because they're always going to be pretending to be something that they're not. And some people might disagree with me when I say that, but I think in order for organizations to grow and evolve, you have to give people the space to freely be themselves. That's where creativity comes in. That's where innovation, all of it comes in. So,
yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, I feel like that's a lot of problems for a lot of people in a lot of spaces. We emphasize the term diversity, and then we make it a monolith when it comes to identity, values, and words. So I always think that's always been a big issue. We're in two different sectors. I'm in the education sector. So that's always kind of been that's always been a big thing that I've noticed is that, you know, we want representation, but we don't necessarily know what that means in the sense of allowing that person to be themselves. I got to that point maybe 2 years ago where I just stopped caring. It's like what you see is what you see, and it still works. Rather, it is with a white family, or is a black family, or Hispanic family, because I think people know when you just care, you can add a value to something. So I think that's really important. So Radiate, so taking this leap of faith, which I commend you for. Tell me the process through that. I know to get here, there's usually moments of adversity and doubt. How do we best navigate through those spaces?
Oh man, yeah, adversity and doubt. And I'm gonna be honest, it happens actively, right? It's not something that I have, moved beyond, because I just sitting down having a goals conversation with my husband last night, and there are things that I'm still doing that are holding me back. So, and a lot of it is self-doubt, because growing up as a perfectionist, growing up in the corporate space, what I've realized is if you've lived in the corporate space for so long your whole life, you are always I struggle with saying, am I good enough to get to that next level? And I almost lived within the parameters of what they allowed for me at that time. So now I'm like, oh man, the sky's the limit. So I was always able to grow within what they kept for me, the space that they kept for me. And now I have to step out, and it's so scary. I have to connect with people that I don't know. I'm talking to you, right? I don't know you, right? I don't know. But I have to put myself out there in spaces that I otherwise would not have. But when I'm in the corporate world, I was able to, this opportunity, I could apply for this opportunity within the organization. And I did it so comfortably because it was what I had always known. Now I'm entering the unknown. Yep. And it's been so scary. So how have I been navigating it? One step at a time, one opportunity at a time. I feel like I've been saying yes a lot more, and just going into situations and being like, okay, I'm here because I'm capable, right? And I have to lean back on the skills that I have accumulated over the course of my career. But it's not easy. It's not easy. Because now I have to tell people that I'm what I have is valuable to you. What I have is something that's going to solve a problem for you. And rejection as a only child perfectionist is hard, right?
Yeah. I feel like this is going to turn into a therapy session.
Oh my. Well, you know what? Listen, I would be honest. I am a coach. And coaching and therapy, like they ride this line, like they're parallel, right? So I find myself often in conversations with my clients where it's like we butt up against that line a little bit, you know. We don't pass it, but in order for you to know where you are going, you have to understand where you came from and why it is, you know, so prevalent in your mind, and then you can move forward, right? Use it to create some plans to move forward. So it is all of it, all the stuff we experience as only children growing up, it affects us now so bad.
Yeah, it never stops. So thing a little about me, if you didn't know, I'm actually en route to be a therapist. I got about a year left. So it's always when I talk to my clients, I can say that really. When I talk to my clients, I always feel there's parts of me in their conversations and what they share. Because I think people don't really understand the pressures that only children typically face. And it doesn't just go away because you get older, you have friends, because a lot of it, everything is on you. When you have siblings, there's usually one sibling that does outstanding. There's always one that is the mess up, quote unquote. When you're the only child, it is just you. You're either going to be the golden standard, or you're going to be what not to be. It's kind of
And when you're the golden standard, there's going to be a point where you're like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, that was me.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Let me just be free.
Yeah, that's what got me out of, I think that's what got me out of the state of perfectionism. I think, right, I'll say about 2-3 years ago, that's when it really like clicked for me. I was like, you are going to make mistakes. Hopefully they're not costly. But also, how do you learn if you don't make them? Or try to do something, and if it works out, great. If it doesn't, you try. If you get opportunities to do it again or do something else, you know what to do the next time. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And it's really great to hear that you took that leap of faith. I really don't think most people would have done that. I think most people would have stayed in a place of comfort, because the unknown is scary. You have no idea. I had no idea what 2 weeks ago was going to look like for me. I have no issue having conversations with people I don't know. But also, my other mind goes sometimes where this could be a really bad thing. I still have to interview this person for a period of time. And then I kind of feel obligated to still put it out. But I don't want to, right? So it's you really do learn trial and error. You really do. I think that's the only way you really become better. So I think you're doing a great job with that.
Thanks. Well, I wanted to, oh my gosh, I had a question, but it's gone now. If it comes back, I'll ask.
That always happens. I get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I had a question.
Sorry.
I forgot it. No, I see the Bills shirt. You're not located in Buffalo, are you? Oh, you are? You're a Bills fan?
I am. And I'm a Bills fan. Listen, it's Sunday, okay? I had to show up authentically. I got my Zuba pants on. You can't see that. But I had to show up authentically and rep my Buffalo Bills. So I hope that doesn't affect your views. If anything, you know what? It should affect them in a good way. Oh, I think you're muted, my friend. Oh, yeah, I hear you now.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Yes? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, it should not. I'm located in St. Louis, so we don't have a football team.
Right.
Our football team is in Los Angeles.
Okay.
We all I'm not a Chiefs fan by day, but that is the closest thing that we will support. I know that's a sore spot.
No, that's who we play today.
Yeah. So are you born and raised in Buffalo?
Yeah.
Well, take me through that experience. What is it like growing up in Buffalo, New York?
I love it. Okay. So first, I grew up on the west side of Buffalo, which most west sides of cities, that's where like the Hispanic communities are. I feel like, I don't know if that's like
Hispanic, Black, seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm Black and Puerto Rican. My mom's Black, my dad's Puerto Rican. So, grew up on the west side, and then my mom moved us into Kenmore. So growing up in Buffalo is a little interesting because we are an incredibly segregated city. But one thing that I will say I love Buffalo. I think that we have a great, we don't have any traffic. Like, you could live here on like a good salary, a great salary, and live really well. You know, the only thing I really hate is that it snows, but that's fine. Like, I could deal with all of that. Right. One of the things though, that I struggle with the community, in Buffalo is that we walk around like with a little bit of a chip on our shoulder. But then what that also does is we almost prevent ourselves from pushing our limits or like growing beyond our comfort zone. And I even see it like in myself too a lot where I'm like struggling there. But I think we have it's a cultured space. We have such a beautiful, rich history. We have Niagara Falls, which people take for granted. You know, we get so much tourism to the city because of that, which is it's a amazing wonder. We're 20 minutes from Canada. The seasons, oh my gosh, like I love so much about Buffalo. The only thing that I ever feel like we could do better at is growing beyond our comfort zones. I want so badly for us to do that. And even for me, because I look at my husband and he's from Chicago. And there's no that you can tell him that's going to ever stop him from doing what it is that he wants to do.
Chicago mentality. Absolutely.
Right. Like grind out. And I love that. Like, I love his work ethic. I love how hard he like just goes for what he believes in. And I look at myself and I'm like, shoot, you know, I could give me some of that, you know, give me some of that. And our friend group, you know, we have a lot of his friend group from college. They decided to stay in Buffalo. And that's something that they see too. They see it where it's like, you don't push yourself. We don't push ourselves. And I love Buffalo. So anybody who listened to this thinks that I'm speaking down on our city or anything. I am not. I am absolutely not. I want us to just be better. I just want us to grow past the difficult spaces because, like, look at our football team, for example, right? We go 4 years to the Super Bowl, and we don't win. You know, it's kind of like then we look at that and we're always holding on to that former version of ourselves. We're like, oh, nobody circles the wagons like the Bills. Right. And we're like, but do they? Right. Right now, are we? Right. So we're always kind of referring back to a former version or glory days of ourselves or the glory era. And I want us to see more
past that. Yeah.
I want us to see past that, even though I think about it all the time, too. I'm like, you know, like.
Well, that leads me to my next question then. So what does your future outlook look like? Like, it sounds like that look like for you.
For me.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's so exciting. I literally feel everything with my whole spirit. So when I think about what the future looks like for my husband, for me, for our businesses, it's affecting change in the most beautiful way, touching so many people, whether it be on social media, whether it be in my one-to-one coaching, whether it be in me coaching in corporate spaces. I also want to be a speaker. I want to be able to speak with students, right? To show them if we could support them earlier in their careers, so then they don't necessarily even have to go down the path that we did of trying to be maybe who we're not. I would love that. So the vision for Radiate is that I am working with corporations. I'm working one-to-one. I'm working with schools. I'm speaking at spaces, in spaces, whether that be specifically to Black and Brown people, or I'm speaking in spaces about DEI and the importance of it. And I know that might be under attack right now, who knows, but that's what I want to do. And the vision is to just create a space where people can show up as their most authentic selves. They can show up as their most authentic selves unapologetically. So my husband and I, we can live our most authentic selves. We can live our reality because we don't do this for nothing, right? I want to create a space where we can decide what our days look like, because freedom is my number four value when I think of my top five values. And I'm doing this to create freedom for us too. So that's, in short of it, that's what it is.
The four values.
My core values?
Yeah, you said you had five values. You said freedom is number four. What's the other four?
Yeah, so authenticity is number one. Integrity, growth, and joy. So those are mine. Yeah. And I keep them on my lock screen on my phone. And that's one of the things I do in my business, right? I help support my clients in identifying what their top five values are, because it's like your guidepost. That's your lighthouse. And I like to speak in analogies. That's kind of how I, you know, go through life. But it is literally your lighthouse is going to make you know that you're on the right track, you're on the right path. And once you get off, like for a long time, my corporate job was aligned. Values going in the right in the same direction. But then there was a point where everything, they started kind of going a little left. And I had to make a decision for myself, looking at what my values are at the time and saying, like, is this where I want to be? Is it aligned with who I am and what I want to do in the world? And if it's not, then I had to make a hard decision, and they made it easy for me. But your values keep you on the right track. So those are mine. Do you know what your top five values are? If you could think.
You're making me think. You're making me think. Freedom is always on there. I cannot tell you where. Respect is on there too. I would like to say respect is number one. I will say kindness is number three. Dang, that's a good question. I've never thought about that. Respect, kindness, joy, service, and creativity. I think that's
love that. Enough. Amazing. So what I could do for you is after we get off here, I'll send you just like a little values clarification. Like, it's just like a couple pages
sure.
that you can. So what I do is I'll be like, okay, 10 minutes, go through the full list, circle every single one that, you know, resonates with you. Then 5 minutes, go through and cross off, you know, not cross off, circle the next ones that like resonate, and 2 minutes. And then 1 minute, right? Get down to your five. So then by the time, you know, you go through it, because there's so many, and even my list isn't an all-encompassing list, but there's so many. And then, you know, you could kind of see, okay, yeah, it matters to me to have creativity, or like to creativity matters to me. But this other thing, you have to make a hard decision, right? Like this other thing is probably more important to me. Spirituality is important to me. And you say you have spirituality and religion on there, right? Which one you have to find the one that matters most. What matters most is something I always say. So I'm going to send it to you so you can do it for yourself.
I appreciate that. Now you really got me thinking. Like, generally, yeah. Like, I'm sitting there thinking about that. I do have another question for you. I feel like it's very important. I like to ask all my guests is, what do you think makes you human? What does being human mean to you? I'm sorry.
I gotta let it resonate a little bit.
Let it resonate. That's good.
Oof. So spirituality is up there for me, right? It's not one of my top five, but spirituality is one of the things. And when I think of what it means to be human, or what makes being human, I think experiencing the full range of emotions. I'm also a Cancer, right? So, right? All the things, right? We feel so much. And I think being human means allowing yourself to feel the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows, the full spectrum of emotions. because how beautiful is it that we get that, right? Like we get to feel all of these things. We get to experience joy. And I think that that's why joy is the foundation. Even though joy is like the fifth value on my top five, when I look at it, I see it as the foundation. Because joy matters, right? And in order to know joy, you also have to know the other, what we might say negative emotions. Even though I don't think that anything is good, one of the things that my stepdad and I say is it's all good, but then there's that which we prefer. So it's all good, but I think what we don't necessarily prefer gives us the appreciation of what we do. And we're unique beings that we get to experience the range of it. So that's what it is to me. I hope that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. I'm not a Cancer, but I'm a Pisces. But I was like, okay. I felt that.
Water sign. Still.
I felt that entirely. Okay. I had another question for you. And then I think you said that so well that it made me lose my train of thought. But so when people come to you for coaching, what are some common themes that they usually come for? Is it like assistance in a certain area, or is it like a full wide range assessment?
Yeah. So when I think of the clients that I've had up until this point, the ones that have come to me, so I work with corporations and they connect me with people. So then I have clients that might not have gone to my website and been like, I want to work with you, or saw me on social media, I want to work with you. But then I do have a handful of clients over here that did decide to work with me just because they saw who I am and what I represent. So that's like an honor. I feel honored whenever that happens. But the reason I think that what I've learned from those group of clients is they're looking for someone that they can connect and communicate with to share areas in their life that they're struggling with and maybe get some guidance on. So, for example, I have two clients, or I'll say one particular client that is just really stuck in trying to figure out, like, what am I doing with my life? Like, what are my goals and how am I going to grow into the person that I know that I'm supposed to be? So that's a big one. And that's also what I see in the corporate clients too, because even though you have a job, you're working in this space, you might not necessarily be in the space that you know you want to be forever. So what I have been experiencing in my clients is that they're looking for someone to help support them in creating clarity around what it is that they want to do. And that's why I say, I work with you to identify your mission, your vision, and your values. Because if you know that, and then we do things, I do something called the Hogan assessment, which is a crazy personality assessment that I love. It's amazing. But I do that Hogan personality assessment to identify what your strengths are and what your strengths overused are and some of the stuff that we keep behind the scenes that we don't want people to know about us, but are still guiding us in our decisions and our actions. So I work with them to identify your strengths. What are the tools that you have in your arsenal that's going to help support you to get to the next thing that you want to go and do? Right? To give you the power and the motivation and inspiration and tenacity to make those decisions. So figuring out what it is that I need to do, want to do, and how am I going to get there? That's one of the biggest things that I see people struggling with.
Wow. Well, definitely a coach. Well said.
Thanks.
Well said. I was like, that she's doing her job. She's doing a good job at Fest.
That's my goal. But that was what I love to do. Really what I did was I decided, okay, what do I do in my corporate job? What did I love the most about my corporate job? And how can I do that all the time? I have right here, this was a little nameplate that I made when I was early in my supervision, my supervisor career. And I had all of my associates put what is their goal, their dream goal career, right? And then put a little quote on there. And this says that this was probably like, I don't know what year this was, 2011, 12. And I put lead promoting performance coach. Okay. And it says, give yourself permission to live a big life. Stop playing small and step into who you were meant to be. You're meant for greater things. And that was who I was at the time. And then by the time that I ended up leaving, I had helped promote so many people into management. I said, I never want to be a director or a VP, but I want to help the people who want to get there. And that was what I did for the rest of my supervisor career. My focus was, I want to help get people to where they want to be and help you get promoted. And that's my goal as a coach now. Like, how can I get you to where it is that you want to be? And I'm not doing it. I'm just the space holder. I'm just here to help flush the ideas through. Yep. Give you the motivation and inspiration and the sounding board to talk through it. And then you go and you run.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Doing your job like a coach. That's what it's up.
That's
my goal. Hey, let me keep going back to. Oh, well, so you said you wrote that. You said like 11 years ago? Did you say that 11 years
ago? Yeah. So 2011 when I first got into supervision.
Wow.
Yeah. And then from there, I ended up having some college interns, and they, you know, I had my career, you know, progress into different spaces where I could be more of service to rising leaders, which I say that's like my goal. Rising leaders. I want to support rising leaders in getting to that next step.
Okay. No, I love it. I think you're on the right mark. My final for you, because you just helped me spark my final question.
Oh, say it again. I can't hear you.
Ashley today. What? That's weird.
Yeah.
Go on out. Okay. What would Ashley today tell somebody that is a younger Ashley, like 20 years ago? Like, what would the Ashley today tell somebody who's younger about progressing in life and things like that? Or what would you tell yourself now that you would have told your younger self? That's a better question. I like that one better.
Oh, my goodness. I say this all the time because my client is just a former version of me.
Yeah.
My ideal client is just a former version of me. And I'm not cheating if I say this, but this is what I would also tell a former version of Ashley is to give yourself permission to live that big life. Stop playing small. But that's also what I would tell current version of Ashley. Like, it's okay to, for the former version, I would clear it up a little bit and just say, it's okay to be who you are. It is okay to be who you are. Like, you don't ever have to shapeshift yourself into different positions in order for people to like or love or work with you, right? And maybe that is the core tenet of my business that I'm really beginning, as I'm hearing myself, you know, in the conversations I say that often, is it is okay to be who you are. And if you don't know who that is right now, that's okay too. Because over time, you're going to learn more about that. But like, allow yourself to just feel what are the spaces that you feel the most like you in, and get closer to those spaces. That can be your, if you don't have your values defined, right? That can be your identifier. Like, am I allowed to be myself in this current space? If not, then you need to go to a space where you can, yeah. You know, and those spaces teach you too, right? The spaces where maybe you feel like you can't be your fullest self, that teaches you too. So take what you can, right? One thing I'd say a whole lot of stuff is like, take what you need, spit out the seeds, yeah. Right? It might not be your forever, but like, learn what you need to learn from the space and the current version of your, like, the current environment that you're in. And then keep feeling what does this feel like home for me? Does this feel like I can be myself? Because who you are is perfect. Who you are is perfect. Sounds so cliche, but it is. So, yeah.
I love that. That is simply amazing. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you taking the time. For those who can find you on social media, where can they find you at?
Yeah. So Instagram, you can find me two places at Ashley Shante. That is the space that I'm a little bit more active with on Instagram, or Radiate Coaching, R-A-D-I-8 Coaching, for Instagram, and LinkedIn, TikTok, YouTube. My goal is to get all of those spaces popping. Okay. But all of the handles are the same. It's going to be Radiate Coaching. And then my website is radiatecoaching.com. Yeah.
And then you forgot Threads. I think so. Maybe.
Oh, Threads, Ashley Shante. So isn't Threads the same as Instagram?
Kind of. Some people don't connect to Instagrams, but yes, it's the Instagram. It's the Instagram, yeah. Twitter.
Okay. Well, so Threads would be also Ashley Shante. So Ashley Shante.
Yeah, no, I'm pushing Threads a little bit more because that's how I'm meeting all these great people is through Threads. And so
there's also Blue Sky too, which I'm trying to figure out. I haven't figured that out yet. I haven't gotten
there yet.
So I'm gonna stick with Threads right now.
I'm done.
Yeah.
So I guess what I learned a long time ago is when you try to get your hands in too many pots, you're gonna. It's not right now. That's not important. But Blue Sky's there. It will still be there.
Yeah.
I said Threads and Instagram only, and TikTok. That's it. Other than that, I don't care. Nope. There's gonna be another app next week.
Right. I gotta follow you on TikTok though, because I am very active on TikTok. I'm more active on TikTok than I am anywhere else, just because I don't know. I just love it. Love that space. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, let me close out real quick. For those who are listening, make sure to subscribe to the pod on your favorite audio platform. Please check out Ashley's great stuff. It sounds like she has a lot of great things going on, especially for those who need coaching. And as always, I appreciate you all. Until next time, peace. Oh, and closes out.